It's a real pleasure to be here for the 19th, and only my second time. So Chip was suggesting I had been here four times, and indeed I've had most of the graduate students in class with me, except for Maxime. Oh, Nikhil, not yet. We'll see. Anyway. So Volodya asked me to introduce this film, and then I watched the film, and I thought, oh, is that why he asked me to introduce this film? And I warned him already, and I'm warning you that this was not my favorite film ever. And so I invite you to take my comments as critical comments, my own position. I was trying to figure out ways to ground my critical comments. And I thought Nietzsche says that the way we typically begin is just our fors and against. So there's a gut reaction that I'm trying to now intellectualize. And I think I want to begin with the idea that we all know that one of the things that made this film very significant is that the Russian Cultural Ministry denied funding to Alexander Mindadze's film on the basis that this film, which was intended to celebrate the anniversary of the Great Patriotic War, is not what the veterans themselves would have expected to see. A very problematic proposition. On the other side, and if it's not clear, this is a German-Russian co-production, about which I'll talk in a moment. By contrast, the German press praises Mindadze and his work, identifying him as, quote, in one instance, one of the smartest, stylistically most daring, most imaginative, independent Russian filmmakers. So this Russo-German contentious dynamic actually began before the film made it to screen, in its own production history, and as Chip suggested, this is something that I am typically very attentive to. And so I would underscore that Mindadze won a Silver Bear in Berlin in 1995 for his screenplay to A Play for a Passenger. And out of that experience, he received further financial recognition from Germany. So My Good Hans, the film we're to see, and his previous film about Chernobyl were Russian-German co-productions. From From June 2011 to December 2013, there was a brief period in which a German-Russian co-development fund existed, sponsored by multiple instances, including the Russian Ministry of Culture and the German Federal Film Board. That co-development fund was ended because the Russians withdrew, and they largely withdrew precisely because of this film that we're about to see. And that itself is an interesting dynamic that we might want to pay attention to. And I would just add that there were eight films overall funded by that co-development fund, including Antalyagrad, a film which stars Fyodor Bondarchuk, that is still in production as far as I can tell, a big romp through Stalingrad in a funny way, a Stalingrad comedy. This form of transnational orientation in German-Russian inflects much of My Good Hans. The film takes place during that moment of the Molotov-Ribbentrop, that is Hitler-Stalin pact, when the Third Reich and the Soviet Union exchanged personnel. The Germans sending in particular engineers in order to help, quote unquote, help build up Soviet industry. And the film explains this, its location in time, noting this moment of exchange between two totalitarian regimes right from the start. But our film is set in 1941, so at the end of this period, right before the invasion of the USSR, and it is clear that the tensions are high. So I appreciate that the role the film plays politically and culturally with its focus on this moment, but aesthetically I see the film as having missed its opportunity to carry through on its potential. Beyond the opening information, Mindadze's narrative strategy, based on what he calls, as far as I could find in my research, a, quote, principle of hidden exposition, winds up explaining little else in its narrative. The film thus relies on its images, and perhaps an expectation that the viewer will imbue the film with a significance, maybe an emotional significance, based on our historical knowledge. Right from the opening, then, we know that there is a precarity to the story. The great catastrophe is about to overcome everyone presented here in the film. But historical knowledge, accuracy, they only take a viewer so far in the film. Right from the start, a long take of a bubbling kettle of molten glass conveys a sense of a geopolitical volcano. And this is something, this opening scene is something that we repeatedly hear about in the critic's relationship. It seems about to erupt, but it also places into a realm of filmic symbolism, eschewing objectivity. The acting and mise-en-scène add layers of what I would describe as crypto-symbolism. For instance, more telling about the precarious conditions is the following scene in which the German engineers gather for dinner. They politely pass the potatoes and ask for gravy, and then suddenly attack each other savagely. Then as quickly as they calm down, and then ask that the roast be passed. The scene tips continually from civility into barbaric aggressivity, only to step back into cultured behavior. A Russian vision of Nazi Germans, perhaps? The four engineers are there in order to develop a new form of optical lens, but the experiments with the glass keep failing until Hans, in a moment of emotional desperation, it's kind of unclear what's exactly motivating him, is it sexual or not, overheats the boiler, causing an explosion and a death. The film then explores the desperation and guilt that consumes Hans. He becomes embroiled with Piotr, who knows the truth of the accident. A break in the narrative reveals Hans returning to the town using this lens, the auto lens, in his own binoculars as now the conquering force. It ends with him receiving a shave from his former love interest. The film ends abruptly with her placing the razor at his throat. Spoiler alert, sorry.
Trigger.
Yeah. The film, although beginning with a historic fact, aspires a little to realism or to factual details. It does not belong to a series of films that therefore seek to explore the humanity and culpability of the period, the barbarism of actors in authoritarian conditions. From the German tradition, most memorably perhaps is Das Boot, but we could include numerous films about Stalingrad, or again from the German tradition, Konrad Wolf's DEFA classic, Ich war 19, I was 19, from 1968. More importantly, especially for Russian film history, this film is actually the opposite, in my estimation, of the unrelenting horrors of Nazi barbarism presented in the 1985 classic, Come and See, by Klimov, which was in many ways functioning as this film was to function in the commemoration of the Great Patriotic War. My Good Hunt seeks something else than historical truths or memory politics. The tensions of the group, especially the class challenges between Otto and Vidi, and the actual lack of party discipline of all the engineers, these are actually impossible dynamics for the moment and speak more to the film as a heavy symbolic and atmospheric exercise. And I sound like I'm a ridiculous pedant for historical accuracy, and that's not what I'm about. But what the film actually seeks to convey is, as a result of its own strategy, opaque, at least to me. And I would be interested in our conversation to find out if it's less opaque to you. It's more of a chamber piece, playing on limited locations and generally interiors. It's closer to what I would describe almost as a passion play rather than a historical drama. The film focusing on the German engineers is done largely in German, and the ensemble is actually a rising star ensemble of German actors. All were born in the early 70s. Jakob Diehl is the most recent to begin acting. He's the main character, Hans, but all have received various awards. All also act on the stage or in other types of performances. And further, they have acted in separate films, but all have worked with directors of what is currently called the Berlin School, a school of purposeful and frequently forced art house aesthetics. And I say that because in this film, their acting strategy is ratcheted up into an emotional excess, which really does little to display the typical strengths of their acting skills. It may be a problem deriving from a director working in a foreign language. I've seen that in other instances, but maybe that was just to show a kind of spitting German character that was striven for. So even though in their German productions they typically play rather stoic Spartan roles, in this film their overheated characters stand in stark contrast to the generally emotionless Russians. It is a film then, and I'm coming to a conclusion here, it is a film then that for me relies mostly or almost on caricatures of national types. A film that shows a Russian vision of the Germans, maybe Nazi Germans, but also by relying therefore on stark national contrast provides perhaps unintentionally a vision of the Russian self, static and even mystical. I suppose the final scene, whether after having spent so much time with these characters, we want to see Hans's throat slit or not, that may reveal something to us about the power of the image to convey a period of barbarism. Do we hope for the barbers' own barbarism, is what I would ask us to complete. Yeah. Okay, thank you.